Nicholas is around here somewhere, but okay. Well, we're going to call the meeting to order, and Don, if you would call the roll.
Representative Burkhart.
Here.
Representative Connolly.
Here.
Representative Greer.
Here.
Representative Moniz.
Here.
Representative Nicholas.
Here.
He's here.
Representative Stubson.
Here.
Senator Burns.
Here.
Senator Hastert.
Here.
Senator Perkins.
He's here, too.
Senator Wasserberger.
Here.
Co-Chairman Harshman.
Here.
Chairman Ross.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, so first up today is Department of Transportation, Director Panos, and this is the way we're going to do it today, folks. We're going to hear first, I think, on the commission side, the budget, and then you can go through Department of Transportation. We're going to save Wild Link to the end. Wild Link. And so, as you know, Director Panos, this is being streamed live, and so when somebody's addressing the committee, please identify yourself for the record so that people know who's speaking. If you'd like to make some opening comments and introduce your staff that's here, we'd appreciate it, and I'll yield the floor to you, Director.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My thanks to the committee for allowing us this opportunity to talk about the Wyoming Department of Transportation. My name is Bill Panos. I'm the director of the Wyoming Department of Transportation. With me is our budget officer, Rodney Fryer, and then we have a number of people here. Tom Lofton, who is the administrator of our sports services group, including our Department of Motor Vehicles activities. We have Colonel Howler and Lieutenant Colonel Ratcliffe, who run the Wyoming Highway Patrol, along with an amazing group of patrolmen. And then we have Dennis Byrne, who's in charge of our aeronautics division. We have Greg Frederick, who's our new chief engineer for the Wyoming Department of Transportation. And then we have Ken. No, I'm kidding. And then we have Ken, he runs all of our operations and IT and those kinds of things. And so we've got, our leadership team here today, and we're very, very pleased to all be here and to be able to answer any questions that you have and, to move through our budget, provide you all the information that you need. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was the introductions. If I may, Mr. Chairman, go through and talk a little bit about the agency, again, not just for the folks that are here in the room. I know many of you are very, very familiar with the agency, but those that are on the stream as well. So the Wyoming Department of Transportation is the largest state agency with 1,968 employees dispersed throughout the state. Our employees are responsible for overseeing 7,600 miles of federal aid highways, which includes city and county roads, and more than 900 miles of interstate highways. The agency began its operation in 1917, making it one of the oldest agencies in state government. The WIDOT budget can be divided into two parts, the part overseen by the commission, or our, what we call the commission budget, and the part overseen by the legislature, which is the legislative budget. The legislative budget is the information we're going to be discussing today. The transportation system serves all of the citizens of Wyoming in addition to facilitating interstate commerce and tourism. One of the things that I've learned about WIDOT is that our tourism economy, our energy economy, and our agricultural economy are all dependent upon the Wyoming Department of Transportation to do its job right, and we're proud of that. Annually, WIDOT activity generates more than 2,000 private sector jobs. The budget amount recommended by the governor for the 2017-18 biennium includes $276 million, generally, $582,825. I didn't think you wanted it down to the dollar, but Rodney will give that to you. In addition, the governor recommends $25 million from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account to preserve the legislature's past investments in the Wyoming transportation infrastructure, which over the last 10 years has been $3 billion. The department's primary functions include transportation construction, which includes the planning, design, and rehabilitating and improving the transportation infrastructure. Transportation operations, which includes bridges, roadside features such as drainage, fences, guardrails, rest areas that they're maintained in good condition, as well as snow control, litter removal, mowing, striping, and preserving the investment in the roads and bridges and the other parts of the transportation infrastructure. Law enforcement. The Wyoming Department of Transportation is really honored to have with us the all of the members, the men and women of the Wyoming Highway Patrol, as part of our family, that enforce our motor vehicle laws. They provide crash response and investigation. They facilitate safety education. And the YDOT also does the collection of all of our user fees, including our licenses and other user fees. Driver services, issuing and regulating driver's licenses, regulating commercial vehicles, administering vehicle title and registrations, collecting and distributing state fuel taxes, also communicating and educating the traveling public, including providing road and travel information on a regular basis. By the way, I wanted to mention that during the last storm, during Christmas, right before Christmas, we had 40, during that storm event, 45 million hits to our website. It's a state record, the largest ever in our history. Aeronautics, managing the state's airport improvement programs, operating state's aircraft, enhancing commercial air service, and administering federal aid funds related to aeronautics. This is a broad set of responsibilities, and we're proud to be able to move all of this forward and to be talking with you today about YDOT. Budget presentation now, if it's okay with the chairman, we'd like to shift over and talk about our entire budget, not just the legislative budget, but give you a preview about our entire budget, and then we'll focus down into the legislative side of it, if that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I'm going to turn this over to my friend here, Rodney, and he's going to walk through that part of the presentation. And you have a handout, which looks like this.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Everybody has the handout there in front of them?
Yep.
Well, I'll start with this is the entire budget for the Department of Transportation. We'll start here.
Just
on
for the record, go ahead. I apologize, but please introduce yourself for the record. I know he referred to you by your first name, but
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. My name is Rodney Fryer, Department of Transportation Budget Manager.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, we'll start here on page one. This is our anticipated revenue for the entire department for 2016. You can see our budget there at the top, $610.7 million. I'll first start here with our highway user fees. And you can see the biggest piece of that pie is our fuel taxes. That is the 13-cent fuel tax that we have gotten all along and the 10-cent fuel tax increase we got in 2013. That breakdown there, just for the committee's awareness, the 13-cent revenue is $62.3 million. The 10-cent portion of that is $47.8 million, which you'll see throughout this presentation. And then, of course, there's the lust money, the leaky underground storage tank, the one penny. That's $11.8 million.
Mr. Co-Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, just sorry to interrupt your flow here, but I just real quick on the 10-cent. You know, when we first passed that and part of the statute said that 100% was going to pavement. I mean, it was going. There was no administrative fee, no planning out of it. We figured you'd absorb that in the other $62 million or whatever, in the whole budget. Now, that statute has expired, and I guess as committee would like to know, I'd like to know, is that still the practice of the commission and the department?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Harshman, that is correct. We keep the 10-cent money in a separate fund, HO2, which is the highway fund, account 02, and we only make contractor payments out of that fund. That is going directly to contractors on awarded contractors out there, pavement on
not
highways.
Planning or administration. That so we don't need to run another statute. Any of us that feel strongly about that, sounds like it's being done.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Okay, well, we appreciate it. And I guess I'd ask you real quick while we're talking about the 10-cent fuel tax. I remember when we voted that in, the University of Wyoming did a study, you know, because we have 300 fuel distributors for the state, and only 50 of them are in-state people. Most of them are out-of-state. Of course, it's taxed at the distributor level, not at the pump level, so that's a cost of doing business. But wasn't it the University of Wyoming study that showed, 6 months after the fuel tax, that they attributed the tax to raising gas one penny in the state, if I recall? Is that... And I don't know, maybe, Kevin, that was back in your days there, too. But
Mr. Chairman, I'll do what I can today to avoid any conversations. But
should have stayed home then.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Chairman, that is correct, and I believe that that study that we did prior to the fuel tax and also kept doing it after the fuel tax, and Chairman – Madden was very instrumental in that and all the economics behind it. And we also have been paying at the time, I believe they still probably do collect information from OPIS, which is an online price information service that gave us that information. So the statistics that you recall are correct, that the actual differential in the fuel taxes at that point in time was very small, and largely it had to do with the fact that out-of-state fuel wholesalers and large pipeline authorities and large companies price that inside the region and not necessarily inside of Wyoming's market. So that is correct.
And then, Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. I just another question on the 10 cent. Now, this just remind us again the split. So $47 million goes to the state, but how much goes to the local government's road funds?
Mr. Chairman, it's the same split on the that it was with the 13 cent. I don't have those figures right in front of me, sir. It's 57.5% on the gasoline goes to the highway fund.
And I don't want to get out in the weeds, but I think it's good just to remind the committee again.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have those percentages right in front of me. I apologize for that. I do have the total numbers here on a later slide that will show you the money that goes out to the local governments.
Okay. I don't know if anybody, any former transportation members know that.
Since that 60-40 split was roughly what it was.
I have it here. I just don't know
what's going on.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, rough statistics on that. $72 million is collected. 47.5 is YDOT's share. That would leave about 24.5% distributed across the local governments. There's also a small portion of distribution that goes to the state parks for motor boats, motor snowmobiles, and off-road vehicles.
Okay. So again, Mr. Chairman, I'll repeat myself. I like doing that. So every penny of that $47 million that was gone for pavement jobs in Wyoming, bottom line.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
No administrators at YDOT. Okay, thank you.
Yes. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burns.
On this pie chart that you've given us, sometimes I get confused by charts like this. I can understand the pie chart. It's the is there any significance to the green square and then more significance to the two smaller greener squares? Or is that just graphics?
Mr. Chairman, that's just graphics.
Okay, thank you.
Green square.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, and I apologize, but the large green square does have a significance in the fact that that represents highway user fees that are constitutionally protected that can only go for construction maintenance and traffic supervision activities.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next piece we'll talk about here is the registrations, the red piece of that pie, the highway user fees. 96% of that total is made up literally of what it sounds. It's the motor vehicle registrations. When citizens of the Wyoming drive down, they go to their county, they put license plates on their vehicles. Mm-hmm. The other big piece is the prorate registration, which is, of course, the trucking industry licensing their vehicles for the time they're in Wyoming. You'll see that's $66.6 million in total. The next piece, Mr. Chairman, the driver's license. That's just Wyoming citizens getting their driver's license renewed every 4 years, $4.3 million in revenue. Next, we've got our vehicle fees, and what that is largely the special permits or oversized, overweight loads for the trucking industry. That figure, the $11.4 million, the bulk of that is that special permit revenue.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you. Back on the driver's license fees, did $4 million. I recall from years past, is there still a deficit in that if you just break out that particular group just on its own, on the driver's license division, is that the fees don't cover the expenses of the division. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, and I'll note that later. It costs us just over $8 million a year to administer the driver's license program, and you can see here we only collect about 4.3. The next piece of the anticipated revenue budget for YDOT is our royalties and our federal mineral royalties and our severance taxes. You can see there $66.4 million. We have received those this year. They were a little bit slow. Next, of course, we've got our general funds. You guys are aware of that. We've got the $23 million per year, or $46 million of biennium for surface transportation. We've also got air service enhancement in there for $3.3 million. Our airport improvement program for another $5.1 million per year, or $10.2 million of biennium. And then WildLink's got just under $3 million of general funds for this biennium. I'm sorry, $6 million for the biennium, $3 million for the year. Our next piece is our other revenue. You can see that's $25 million. What that is our city-county project participation, our construction projects that are out there. Locals participate in that. We invoice them. They reimburse their portion. That's our flight services revenue, our authority to render service, the interest that we collect on the highway funds, our equipment sales, and insurance reimbursements. And lastly, Mr. Chairman, the biggest piece of our pie at YDOT, 44.6%, or $272.7 million, is our federal aid. That's our service transportation money through the Federal Highway Administration, our highway safety grants, our federal transit program, our airport improvement program, and, of course, motor carrier, which helps out with the patrol.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Roddy, just a little bit more on that. What does the new transportation bill mean for Wyoming?
Mr. Chairman, if I can answer that a little bit. It means a couple of things. It's a huge win for all of the states of the United States, including Wyoming, relative to creating stability in our funding streams over the next 5 years. Having continuing resolutions at the federal level are very, very destabilizing for our planning purposes, for our operations, and for our construction projects. This creates a great deal of stability over the next 5 years, so that's one thing. The second is that the average increase identified for Wyoming over the next 5 years of the funded bill will be about 15% of the monies that we currently receive that are coming from the surface transportation bill on average. That translates to about 20 million. It'll float up and down each year because it's allocated in a different way, but about 20 more million to us for these purposes. The first year's, I think, is low. It's 15 because we're running into a partial year the next year. But on average, we see our estimates are about 20 million, low 20, something like that. The next is a public transit. It actually adds about 18% in the public transit area, which means more of those dollars that we provide to counties and cities for public transit will increase. That's a lot more meaningful, obviously, to urban areas than it is to rural areas, but certainly is important to us. And there's about a half a dozen other things that are in the bill which have directly helped us, such as we had a federal program that we didn't know how we were going to pay for to survey all of our unpaved rural roads, and it provides some dollars to do that. There's a freight component to it. So there's a variety of improvements to ours. But the biggest one is creating the stability, the knowledge that we have certain monies for a period of time from the federal government and can plan accordingly. I would be remiss if I didn't say that our federal delegation, the previous administration here at YDOT, all of the staff, many of them that you see here, including Kevin over there in the corner, did a remarkable job over the last 6 years in getting ready for this. This does not come easy, and it does not come overnight. They did a remarkable job at staying present on the issue until the windows of opportunity opened, and they closed within about a three-week period. We were able to be ready to advance it forward for Wyoming, and so they deserve a great deal of credit for that. But I would say the number one issue is stability. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
So have you received any of the money yet, let's say $15 million the first year?
We have not. Some of the AML is starting to move forward. Oh, by the way, I should say for Wyoming as well, when I get away from DOT, the perspective of DOT, and I get to the perspective of Wyoming in general, as you know, in 2012, part of the two-year funding bill was to remove – mine reclamation monies from states, including Wyoming, to help pay for the two-year bill, which, of course, was unsustainable. And it is recovered under this bill, both in terms of the monies that had previously been withdrawn and additional monies for the next 5 years. The bulk of that comes now. About a little under $300 million will come in initially. It'll be something to that effect. I know you probably have the – I mean, I'm sure these guys probably – Kevin probably already knows what the number is. But it'll come in right away, and then there'll be payments out for the 5 years. That's a significant obviously, it's a significant win for Wyoming in general. But it also was very helpful to our budget because we have utilized in the past – this legislature has utilized in the past that money for a variety of different priorities for Wyoming, including transportation priorities. But again, I go back, it's the stability. It really is the stability that from a YDOT's perspective and from the surface transportation bill's perspective is extremely helpful to us.
So when do you anticipate receiving any of this money? I mean, we've already seen where they're holding up the AMLs already, so I mean.
They're debating the distribution, and frankly, how that money rolls out right now back in Washington DC, and we can obviously get that back to the committee. We have people on the ground in DC that are helping us with that now. It's an unknown about the distribution yet.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Bill, is it $20 million a year or a biennium?
It'll be on average, for 5 years, each year. And, about 15% on average. But again, because of the distribution and the appropriations discussions that are going on in DC right now, we haven't locked that into this much money every year. We know averages, about 15% more, 15% more averages to high teens, low 20s, and it'll come in irregularly for 5 years.
Mr. Chair, a couple follow-ups. And I'm curious if you have a priority list already that that this additional expenditure will just now allow us to move down that priority list quicker. And then my second question is their ability to swap out any general fund money for this increase in federal funds.
So the two questions, Mr. Chairman. The first is had to do with the priorities. Yes, we have a fairly long list of priority projects that are shovel ready. We were just talking about this yesterday. We have about 150 projects under construction. We have about 300 projects in design, and we have another 100 or so that are back before design ready to go. So there's a number of those that are in design that are shovel ready to go. We certainly have many in construction. The utilization of these funds has been, again, we've taken a lot of direction from the legislature and the governor's office about how we move these monies around. We'll talk a little bit later about your investment over the last 10 years. I mentioned it earlier in my opening remarks that the investment has been about $3 billion or so, 2.8. It floats a little bit if you take into consideration some other costs. But it's about $3 billion. By the way, similar to what you had invested over the same period in time in public education in schools, which is where I'm from, where I came from. When we look at that, we have some of you have probably heard this before, but we have determined that we're about $64 million short in terms of the monies that are needed to preserve that investment. And so that means that without those dollars there to operate the system and maintain the system, that investment will degrade. So you will have the system degrading faster than we're keeping it up, basically. So it's about a $60 million gap. In our budget proposal and in the governor's recommendation, there's about $25 million more in the governor's recommendation to help clear that gap. This federal money will help a bit. This year I think it'll be 20 or 15 million and we'll increase a little bit there. But we're still a bit short in terms of keeping your investment from degrading. And so that's for us those targets are what we're talking about. I mean, it kind of got earlier than I had anticipated talking about it, but generally that's what we're focused on. We are not talking about expanding the road system, expanding its capacity, expanding. We're talking about maintaining the investment that you have already made. And so that's our focus. And I think we've heard from not just the governor and from the legislative leadership, but from many of the members and from our citizens, maintaining the road system is a good place to focus on. And it isn't about more. It's about keeping our investment and maximizing the investment that you've sure. already made in the system. I hope that answers your questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, that's all I have on page one with the anticipated revenue, unless there are any further questions.
Any other questions on page one? Hearing none. Move on.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Senator Astor.
Just back on a little discussion on the federal side of it and the monies coming in. Is there any breakout on or can it, Wyoming get additional dollars for safety projects, so to speak?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hastert, yes. In fact, many of these projects or if these federally funded programs are grant-based programs where we apply and compete. We're very successful, by the way, because we compete very, very well. We have an amazing organization here, and that's one of the reasons why we compete so well. Our people do great work. So we will compete for those grants. We have a very robust federal presence in safety now. It could always be improved, and we can talk about that a little bit more in terms of our safety efforts. But, yes, I mean, we could, and, in fact, the bill helps to put more money into highway safety education, highway safety programs, our intelligent highway systems, some of the other things that we've been working on.
Mr. Chairman, just follow up on that. So that's additional dollars outside of what we would normally be granted for maintenance or of the federal highway system.
Mr. Chairman, the way that I understand in terms of the answer is in some cases yes, in some cases no. Again, much of the highway safety monies are dedicated, and we do get some money for that. We'll continue to get that money, and it's the stability in the money. There wasn't a significant increase in the allocation of highway safety funds as part of the bill that I remember. I'll look back at it and see. But the grant programs, there was a robust increase so that we have more monies to go after in terms of our proposals that we have to submit to DOT for use of that money. But we'll be competing with other states.
So, Mr. Chairman, Director Panos says something like a third lane on Interstate 80, which could be argued as a safety measure. Would that be something that would fall under that, or is that something anybody's even considering? I just remember my time on Transportation Committee years ago and the discussion that the we're in a pinch point and the truck traffic is anticipated. Then it was in, you know, for over the next 15 years was to grow exponentially of, you know, and, you know, the traffic. And we're seeing that on the interstate. We're seeing an increased number of accidents and a lot of issues on the interstate system there. And I don't remember if Nebraska ever went through with their three lanes, but it just seemed like we're in kind of a, having issues with that and some of the safety issues.
Very quickly, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hastert, we have something called a STIP, which is actually our planning, our federal planning program for capital improvement of our highway system here in Wyoming. That STIP involves a great deal of collaboration between us and the Federal Highway Administration. That's where that kind of a project would be found. There isn't, as far as I know, there isn't that kind of a project in the STIP. The STIP is a very well thought out 5-10 year program that we move forward. That project would fall into that kind of a process, and in fact, you'll hear about the STIP a little bit later today. But no, there is not a third lane on US 80 that's in the STIP at the current time.
Okay, Rodney.
Mr. Chairman, in your packet, the next page you have is a white page with some notes on it. You can skip that. I apologize for that being in there. I'm on to the
we
third
just know
page.
The source.
or the page titled page two at the top. This is transportation funding made available to the cities and counties. This is money that's in our budget, in that $610 million that we are getting out there to the cities and counties through our grants and other invoices, billing events. You can see for roads and highways, there's $23 million. That's $20 million federal and $3.6 million in state funds. Next, we've got airports. That's $35 million. That's largely the federal funds from the Airport Improvement Program, but that money is going out there to the airports. We've also got state funds of $4.3 million in there and the general funds, of course, of $8.3 million. And lastly, we've got our mass transit. You can see that's $12.8 million, and again, that's largely federal funds, but that is money that does get out to the locals, the cities and counties here in Wyoming.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator.
So as I'm looking at roads and highways and the transportation, so I mean the fuel tax went in just a few years ago, but yet the amount that we're seeing there is relatively level. So is that somewhere else?
Mr. Chairman, this money here does not include the fuel tax. Okay. We just do the distribution to the cities and counties. We don't actually take that money into the highway fund. Okay. It's done directly out of the 613, which is the motor fuel fund.
So roads and highways, how much was general fund?
Mr. Chairman, that is – there's no general funds that go out to the cities and counties for service transportation.
Yeah.
May I add, I believe what Rodney has said is that within YDOT's budget, these are the allocations that are made to local governments.
Okay.
So these are the funds that the local governments enjoy through the process at YDOT. It does not include those YDOTs that YDOT spends, just the money that goes to local governments.
Okay. All right. Senator Burns.
Once this money hits the local governments, how restricted are they in applying the money to what it was given to them for? So, for instance, what if a county feels they need more, want to take more for some roads from the airport fund?
Mr. Chairman, these funds are typically through a grant process where there's a project in mind. So,
they're site specific.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Thank you.
And I would add, Mr. Chairman, that we also have a fairly robust internal review and audit system so that once we do decide what it is we're going to spend it on, we actually go back and check, make sure we look at invoices, we look at bills that are paid, timeliness of payments, all of those kinds of things in terms of performance and use of public monies.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I was just curious. How many cities in the state have mass transit or have urban transit?
Mr. Chairman, I'm unsure that answer, but we can find that out and communicate that to you.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, most cities, when we say mass transit, it's a bit of a misnomer. It's just a categorical. I call it public transit, but it really is that transit which is used by the public. You'll see it in our urban areas, Casper, Cheyenne, in the form of buses. But in rural areas, thank you. But in rural areas, it is in the form of senior transportation.
Oh, this is where the senior centers.
Well, if they have a bus or something like that, they would put it in for a grant and they would get it for that. So as I look through, almost all the counties have some form.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom. Some form of public transit, and that's partially where they get those funds from.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Alrighty then.
Mr. Chairman, I'm moving on to page three now, and this is where I'll talk about the projected motor fuel collections. In total, page three here, this is the gasoline projections, $85.6 million. And I'll talk about the percentages here as well as the numbers. You can see the state highway fund, $45.6 million, or 57.5% of those collections will come to YDOT. Of course, we got the leaky underground storage tank, the one penny lust money, $3.4 million. DEQ also gets a like amount of that same dollar. The counties, $10.7 million, or 13.5% of the gasoline distribution goes to them. Next, we've got the State County Road Improvement Fund. That's $11.1 million, or 14% of the distribution. Then we've got the cities at $11.9 million. They get 15% of the gasoline distribution. And lastly, there's state parks. Now, this is an off-the-top distribution. They invoice us based on the number of off-road vehicles, motorboats, and snowmobiles. That happens at different points during the year, and we pay them directly, and these are the estimated amounts that they will receive.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
What's the difference between when we look at the purple bar and the green bar? One of them is state slash county, the other one is counties. What's the distinction there?
Mr. Chairman, the counties in the green bar, the $10.7 million, that's a direct distribution to them for any activity that they have, which would be including their maintenance operations. Mm-hmm. The state-county portion of it, $11.1 million, is delivered to them for their improvement program, which would be contracts.
Mr. Chairman, is that the so when we say in the improvement program a contract, is that the one that's the subject to that there's a dollar limit that counties can't anything or that they have to go out for public bid? Is that that section?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Okay.
The green is the counties spend it through their own budget on their own forces. The purple is through the contract with the private enterprise to deliver those improvements.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just before Rodney gets started again, I just wanted to add, you know, being new in this position, I've been learning a lot about YDOT. This chart and the next chart illustrate how connected this agency is to all of the cities and counties, and you'll find, too, to all of the other state agencies. I don't think there's a state agency we don't connect to in some way in terms of transferring money or moving money, and certainly to local government. I haven't seen anything like this in my short time here. It's a remarkable partnership between YDOT and other state agencies and YDOT and cities and counties, a robust partnership that is laudable. It's an amazing thing. Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back over.
Right.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I was reading.
Question, out of the fuel tax is a university technology transfer amount that comes out of there. I know it's not a lot of money, but is it well used? Do the cities and counties participate in that program? Is there a real benefit to it?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding of that program, there is benefit. There is a distribution that does come off the top as part of the participation from the counties, comes out of the county distribution. They do get benefit out of that with a county road inventory as well as other research that county or that UW puts together for them. I don't have any details about that, but what I do know and what I have heard, it is good. It is a good benefit.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Continue.
Mr. Chairman, I'm done with gasoline if there are no further questions, and I'm on to page 4 with the diesel fuel distribution. You can see for 2016 that's estimated at just over $94 million. 75% of that, or $63.5 million, will go into the state highway fund. Next, we've got the Diesel Fuel Administration. What that number represents, that $968,000, that is calculated just off the 13-cent distribution. That's 2% of that distribution. When the new 10-cent fuel bill passed, we said we could administer 24 cents the same way we can administer 14 cents at the same cost. So that's why that number didn't change. Again, we've got the leaky underground storage money on diesel fuel. It's $8.4 million. The counties get $16.9 million of the diesel fuel distribution, or 20%. And lastly, there's the cities at 4.2, or the remaining 5% of the diesel fuel distribution.
Senator Burns.
Lust. Why is there more money going to Lust from diesel than there is from gasoline?
Mr. Chairman, that's just based on the collections of the diesel fuel versus gasoline.
I thought it was one penny per gallon for each.
Mr. Chairman.
Kevin.
The one penny is taxed on all fuel on-road and off-road, and there's a sizable amount of diesel fuel off-road. And then on the gasoline side, the same thing is included, but on the gasoline side, there's not that much off-road usage. So the one penny is collected on every gallon, and then the highway user penny is collected on highway use gallons. So there's about a $4 million per penny differential in what we collect through the less penny versus a highway user penny.
Is that the difference between the red diesel versus the clear diesel?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
And, Mr. Chairman, I also understand that the LUSP program is, they're approaching the end of the leaky underground storage tanks. Is that true?
You know, Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, probably DEQ is probably in a better position to be able to answer where the condition of their particular program is and what the longevity of the program is. Typically, leaking underground storage tanks, although there's, I mean, having been in this, done this before, at the state level, typically they have, an ongoing, operating cost because, tanks degrade, always degrade over time, and they're always replacing them. So there is a bit of a capitalization, you know, a bit of a rise, but there's an ongoing, but it's much, 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 much better to have DEQ answer that question. And, we certainly can work through Kevin and get the answer to the committee.
Thank you.
Kevin.
Mr. Chairman, you did hear testimony from the Department of Environmental Quality to that fact exactly. They do anticipate this to, ramp down between now and, 2017, I believe, 1920. They're going to have the ability to shift some money from the leak underground storages to the landfill account because of the legislative action that you took part on. So the less penny will continually be collected, and then naturally it's a swap between over-the-cap severance taxes and the DUQ will still continue to receive those funds.
Okay, anything else? All right. Next page.
Mr. Chairman, page 5, we've talked about where the revenue is going to be. Now I'm going to talk about the expenditures or the allocation of that revenue in the whiteout budget. I'm going to start here with the blue piece there, that big piece, the highway improvement contract maintenance. That is our surface transportation program out there fixing the roads, working on the roads, $336 million or 55%. The next big piece there you'll see is the regular maintenance, special maintenance operations. That's our snow control, out there working on the roads, fixing the delineator posts, those kind of things. $109 million per year.
Mr. Chairman, if I can interrupt Rodney for 1 second. Interesting statistic about this. Again, I'm learning a great deal. This year, we'll spend $5 million on sand.
What? What's for?
It's important to note that we spend a lot on commodities, to keep the roads open and to move them forward. We use it for snow control. Mm-hmm. And so we use it all over the state. And I signed an invoice the other day. I said, really? We're buying $5 million worth of sand? And they said, yeah, that's a year's worth.
Wow.
Okay.
That's how I break my windshield.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the next piece there, our planning and administration. That does include our planning programs, our financial services, our training programs, and our intelligent transportation, $26.9 million. Next, we've got our capital expenditures for $8.6 million. That's our building expenditures, our fleet vehicle and equipment, and our general property that's needed for the organization. Next is our other expenditures. What that includes is the University of Wyoming Technology Transfer Center. That's where we've got those dollars. Our highway safety program, our license plate production, our federal and state rural transit, as well as WildLink and Salex. That's where those dollars live.
WildLink is in here?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Chairman? Yes.
Just real quick, does it make any difference as far as the YDOT's concerned about the proliferation we have of all these different license plates? We had about 4 or 5 different license plates until about 3 or 4 years ago, and then over a couple of years, all of a sudden, every branch of the military and EMTs and retired firefighters.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to have Tom Lofton
answer that question. He takes care of our DMV and license plate
number
vehicles. We're
going to
hand him
the
mic here.
Tom?
Chairman, Tom Lofton, Wyoming Department of Transportation. Mr. Chairman, I guess the best way to answer your question as far as at one time in the state, as you know, we had embossed license plates. They were very expensive to do different types of plates and different models. When we went to what we call the flat plate, that did make it a lot cheaper to make other plates. And as you know, over the last few years, there has been quite a few additional plates, and there is a cost for each one of those. We usually do the fiscal impact, and I would say normally for a standard additional license plate, it probably costs for the design and programming about $8,000.
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, the next piece we've got here is our support services, and that is where driver's license lives, motor vehicle services, fuel tax, our purchasing department.
Microphone.
Oh. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Management services and strategic performances. We talked earlier about the cost of driver's license, and I just wanted to point out that number. For this next year, it's $8.2 million. And if you remember from that first slide, the allocation, the driver's license revenue was 4.3. So there is a cost to YDOT to administer that driver's license program. Next, we've got our administration budget. That's our director, internal review and public affairs. You can see that's $1.7 million. Next, we've got aeronautics at 38.7. That does include the airport improvement program, air service enhancement, as well as our flight operations or the operations of the aircraft. And last but not least, we've got our law enforcement, our highway patrol, and our port of entry program, $43.5 million a year.
Yep. Ready.
Mr. Chairman, I'm on to page 6. And Mr. Chairman, this is our highway improvement expenditures and how that program is funded. You can see for 2016, we are 64% federally funded. The national average across the United States is 60% state and 40% federal. So we are a little better, getting 64% in federal funds. We do also receive 7% of our budget is paid through general funds, and, of course, 29% for state funds.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Why do we get such a benefit on the ratio?
Can you repeat the?
I'm wondering why we get such a benefit on the ratio. You said most other states it's 60% state and 40% federal. We're the flip of that. We get 64% and have to, and so I'm wondering what it is about us that we get the benefit of having almost two-thirds of the highway funds being paid for by the federal government.
Mr. Chairman, I think that you need to flip that upside down because in other states, they have a much larger state contribution to their highway improvement program and a smaller federal contribution. What this means is that Wyoming relies more heavily upon federal dollars to maintain their highway system than other states do. For example, our neighbors.
Right, that's my question.
Because we don't have the kind of state dollars that the other states have. So we are relying upon federal funds to a greater extent than other states are through their tax policy.
Oh, I see. So the number of federal dollars are relatively constant. It's just that we put, as a state, put less money into our highways.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would only add that in the Surface Transportation Bill, one of the things that we were able to secure was consistency in the federal funding formula. This is the formula by which they, as you know, they collect taxes and then redistribute them out to the various states for transportation. We are beneficiaries
as you can tell, from that as compared to some other states. And we didn't want that that formula changed, or for a big, large portion of that to not be formulaic and to be grant-driven. Because you can imagine what will happen if we have to compete with Los Angeles, New York City, Atlanta on federal transportation grants. We already have a difficulty doing that now. But this formulaic approach keeps the money here in Wyoming and in other rural states like Wyoming. So it was one of the great advantages of the surface transportation bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Connolly.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Bill, I'm actually following up on Senator Burns' question. Then if we put in more state funds, would that leverage more federal funds under the new formula?
Under the new formula, the answer would be probably no. But under grant programs and other kinds of things that require a state match, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I do apologize. I believe I did misspeak. And if you see that the statistic at the bottom of that slide, it is the national average is 60% state and 40% federal. I did just misspeak there. I apologize.
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Don.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question. Are we still designating and using most of the federal funds for the interstates and most of the state funds for the other highways? We had done that in the past. And
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure of that answer.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to have Greg Frederick, our chief engineer, talk to that a little bit.
Mr. Chairman, Greg Frederick, or Chief Engineer for the Wyoming Department of Transportation. Federal funds can be spent on the interstate system, the national highway system, and the state transportation system. And so we do that in order to balance the conditions of those roadways. What you might be referring to is the way we are spending the fuel tax dollars, and we're spending the fuel tax dollars off of the state, off of the interstate system.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Just a question on the general funds that are outlined on this slide. And I just may not be remembering correctly, but, I mean, I remember in the glory days when we were pumping a lot of general funds in, but were those direct appropriations, these that are showing up on 15 and 16, and what were the amounts?
Mr. Chairman, that is $23 million a year or $46 million a biennium.
And, Mr. Chairman, was that just an appropriation, a straight appropriation for highways on that 46?
Mr. Chairman, that is part of our standard budget.
Oh. Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Representative Stubbs, it's unlike some other projects in the sense that you would do project by project. This is more, we have a STIP. It has all the projects in there. This is more of a direct appropriation.
Measuring up to what the Fed wanted us to do on certain things, motorcycle helmet laws, first offense, primary offense for seat belts, and there's some others. And I was wondering if you could, first of all, under the new transportation bill, are those still in effect, and could you have a list of those?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, the answer is yes, they're still in effect. And yes, we do turn back federal money because of some of the conditions that we have here in Wyoming that are unique to Wyoming. And yes, we can get you a list of those.
And where that money's diverted to?
Yes, we can. Oh, where the money's diverted to in terms of the federal government?
Yes.
Like where they're sending it?
No, I thought it's not necessarily held back.
Right. We actually will divert it to another program that it's eligible for. And, yes, we can get you something like that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think that what they're referring to is the repeat offender open container set-asides that are currently, because in the federal view, our laws don't live up to their safety requirements. So about $11.5 million a year is diverted from the core highway program over to the open container repeat offender. So the requirements of that are that it's just taking it from the left pocket to the right pocket, but YDOT can largely use those funds for safety-related activities on the highway system. So there's not a loss of money. It just has a different entanglement set up with the federal government.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's why I said the money's diverted, and also there's a number of those issues, not just the open container.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, we can get you a listing of how those are diverted. And, of course, Kevin's right. The idea that with a large portion of them, we can use them for highway safety and do. It's a great funding source for us, and it's great campaigns that we're able to put out in high schools and other places about that.
Thank you. Yeah. Did you, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Did you say that number was $13 million? Is that what it is for the – for the half-open bottle of wine in your back seat or the open container within the right-of-way?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there's two set-asides or sanctions that change it from the left pocket to the right pocket, open container and repeat offender, and they're the same amount of money, and it averages about $11.5 million.
Okay.
But about $1.5 million of that has other priorities. So about $10 million, I believe, in my experience, was actually spent on safety-related activities on the highway system.
Yeah.
I'm not touching open container again, I can tell you that. I got beat up over that one. It took me 10 years.
It took 10 years to get beat up.
Can we get the... Mr. Chairman, I'm moving on to page 7 if there's no further questions on 6.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is the slide that Director Panos kind of mentioned earlier, where we are focusing on the need of $63.7 million to maintain the highway in its overall condition today, to protect the investment that you all have made. Any questions here, Mr. Chairman?
Any questions? Nope.
I'm on to page 8, Mr. Chairman. This is our percentage of road miles in poor condition, and you can see through time how this has looked. And if you notice in 2013, had we not received that 10-cent motor fuel increase, motor fuel gas or fuel tax increase, that red line projects how the roads would have continued to deteriorate or more miles would have been in poor condition. We did get the motor fuel increase, and you'll see that blue line, how that's trending out going forward into the future. Mr. Chairman, last but not least, page 9. This is our road deterioration versus time slide that you've seen before. This is a pay me now, pay me later picture. As you go through time here, you can just see that it's critical that we do timely maintenance on our highways to keep them from deteriorating so far that we have to spend more dollars for reconstruction. Every dollar we spend early will cost us $4 to $8 later for additional maintenance or even reconstruction.
Every dollar delayed.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
$4 to $8.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes our presentation of the Commission budget, unless there are any questions.
Any questions, folks?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hester.
Just at one time we had received a years ago, and I know that YDOT tracks fuel prices regionally, and I know around the time of the we raised the fuel tax, Wyoming was enjoying, as I recall, a 20-cent reduced price, lesser price regionally, that you know than our regional, and at the year or two after that, it was 19 cents. So, to demonstrate there wasn't really much of an impact. So I'm just curious what that might be today.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to provide that committee. I do not have that with me today.
Okay. So we're ready to go into your budget now? Want to take a break? Okay. Take a 5-minute, and then we'll be back to start your budget. Director
Panos.
All right, so we're back online, and we're going to start working. What we've been doing is just basically going page by page through the budget. So, Director Panos.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to start with going over just a couple of things that staff have asked us to prepare for you, some Chapter 17 adjustments and looking at some net zero activity before we get into the IBARS form and move through the budget. Mr. Chairman, is that how you wanted to proceed? We'll talk about did you want to talk about the Chapter 17 adjustments?
That's fine if you want, and then we'll get in.
As the committee is probably aware, Mr. Chairman, Chapter 17 adjustment is us modifying our available budgets between object classes. This could be done in a single unit or amongst a division. This year, the Department of A&I budget, there were 16 adjustments made for the 17-18 biennium, which resulted in a total funding adjustment or $136,000 decrease through our Chapter 17 adjustments.
$136,000?
Yep, $136,105. In those adjustments, there were no travel adjustments, increase or decrease, necessary for Chapter 17. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make a point to the committee that $136,000 adjustments on this size of a budget is remarkable. That's some accurate budgeting. And the staff, both in the governor's office and here in YDOT deserve a great deal of credit for that. That's a remarkable number.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the next piece there is our net to zero adjustment, which is a type of Chapter 17 modification where budget authority is moved from one place to another within a division. This has a zero effect to the overall budget, but our one net to zero adjustment was we transferred one position from driver services to our fuel tax administration. That was to restore a fuel tax administration position to where they were back in August of 2009. We needed a position in driver services as to help with an administrative issue we had, and now fuel tax needed that position back to help with their workload. Again, that was a $0 effect of $166,411 for net to zero.
Okay.
If we can continue, Mr. Chairman, so we'll be going through our IBARS format, formatted budget, if it's okay with you. And when we get to the WIO link, I'd like to, as you said, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to skip that and put it to the
right
end, if that's
we'll
okay.
Put it to the end.
And then ask questions as we proceed. One of the things that I've discovered in making these presentations before is, so be patient with us, is that sometimes we need to take a lot of time and say, make sure we're all on the same page, literally, as we go through. So I'll be doing that as well. So the first page that we have here, if you look at the very top, the top end sheet, it's page one, I guess. We have two page ones. On this page, we see a total of approximately $262 million. I'm just going to point out a couple of things on each of these, and if you want me to go back and talk about something else, please ask. The summary does not include a $16 million in adjustments, exception requests, requested by the agency and recommended by the governor's budget request. We'll cover those in later detail.
Mr. Chairman,
that's okay.
Where are you?
Our page one is obviously different than your page one.
That's fine. So I'm on the agency budget summary.
I think.
You tell me.
Summary table?
Summary table.
Page four.
Mr. Chairman, we were just looking at our Chapter 17 and okay. Net to zero adjustments. Did you not want to go through that document?
Are you still doing that?
Still doing
do
that.
We have?
You're through that.
Okay. Let me have that budget.
Do we have that?
Thank you.
I don't think we have that document.
Mr. Chairman, it's only on SharePoint. It's the large black binder, so it's very voluminous.
We have
page four.
Thank you. For you, it's page four.
Okay.
Just one. Give us a moment.
Oh yeah, this is, and that includes the
okay.
Everything.
Okay. So let's go back.
They don't want to go through that.
Okay.
So now we have to make sure that our page one is their page. Well, please, can we get a minute, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you.
He's got his report, and he's got a different form. He's got different page numbering than he's got here, and he's made his notes and his presentation wrong. Don't have to reflect the same page numbers as we've got.
Mr. Chairman, I think we got it. Let's start on page four. Page four is sort of a summary table. You'll see $276,582,825 at the lower right. That's the current governor's request. As I reminded the committee when in my opening remarks, the governor has also recommended $25 million additional relative to this budget for the purposes of closing that gap, the gap that we talked about earlier, relative to protecting the investment, the $3 billion investment over the last 3 years of the states and its highway system.
Mr. Chair, I'm just curious if the governor has made any modifications based upon the transportation bill to you directly or...
We have not made any modifications to this based on the transportation bill as this was already published and approved and sent through by the time that – but we have been thinking about the implications to the transportation bill, of course, to this particular budget number, and we'll continue to do that. If we talk about a $64 million gap, which we had indicated before in our previous presentation, the governor's portion of that the governor's recommended a $25 million additional monies towards that will help cover some of that gap. So of the $64 million, you know, $25 million of it. It is very likely that the increase in the federal funds that will come from the surface transportation bill at an average of around $20 million a year will help cover the rest of that gap. But it's essential to have and the governor recognized that it was essential to have that $25 million in his recommendation put forward to the legislature and discussed in these kinds of meetings so that we can at least do all that we can here in Wyoming along with our federal partners to try and preserve the investment as well as possible. Okay? I'd also remind the committee that we're talking about, in this particular IBARS, we're talking about not the commission's budget, but the legislative budget, what I had described earlier to be that portion which we're seeking authority, spending authority from the legislature. So you'll see that these numbers, you know, it's not $610 million, it's $276, it's that portion, okay? So far, so good? So... the agency has about 1,940 or so employees. You'll see about 563 under these budget items. So that's why there's a difference there. This is the legislatively controlled budget as opposed to the commission budget. Okay, page five. I'm looking down through here.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I think it might be... appropriate here might save time, but just looking at, could you just comment about the hiring freeze, and then you know we start looking through the vacancy reports. Could you just give us a little bit of a recap of where you're at and what you've done to look at what of those vacant positions are not necessary?
Sure, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
Senator Greer, Representative Greer, a couple of things. We were asked by the governor's budget office, along with all the other agencies, to provide sort of a focus towards the hiring freeze, and we took that on pretty aggressively, actually. To date, the agency has held 120 positions in total for an estimated savings to the state of about $9 million annually. Of those, 33 of those are legislative positions. 87 of those are commission positions. So we're participating robustly in the freeze. So we have some authorized positions that we, frankly, aren't hiring now. That totals to about 120.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to add one point, is that in all of WIDOT's positions, they have one, a single, generally funded position, and that happens to be the Air Service Enhancements Administrator. So only one generally funded position throughout the whole organization.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but I didn't hear what Kevin said.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. In all of WIDOT's positions, in the total, irregardless if it's legislative or if it's commission-related, they have one generally funded position, which is Air Services Enhancements Administrator.
So then, Mr. Chairman, then, so the 563 that are in this budget aren't in our purview? Is that what
the 563 positions are? I just wanted to note that only one of the 563 is generally funded.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Greer, the remainder of those positions that are legislatively controlled or oversight, you know, that the legislature has oversight over, they're funded by the things that we talked about earlier, the user tax, the user fees, by the federal highway funds and other kinds of things. So they're not generally funded position. And as Kevin had correctly pointed out, I was very surprised. I said, how many general funded, when we first started this, how many general funded positions we have? And they said, one.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman and Director, this is my first full budget, so I have to understand when I look at a recap and we talk about general funds, tune of $60,000 on here, none of that slides in. So none of that goes towards Series 100. We have that accounted for specifically throughout the whole budget to other items.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. You have $26 million or $46 million a biennium of general funds for service transportation. You have $10,240,000 of general funds for airport improvements. You have roughly $1,530,000 of general funds for Wylink, $2,888,000 of general funds for air service enhancements. Those are all specific to those missions. In all of that, one inside of general inside of air service enhancements is generally funded.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, and I guess I just want to get a feel of my role as a legislator. So if we were to cut 10 positions and save $1 million, that helps us. That makes the roads in my county better. Is that right? Am I looking at this wrong?
I guess, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I guess that would assume that those positions that you cut had an association with the road program and that we were going to transfer the money to the road program. As we've described, there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of programs that we run, including things like highway safety and other things that don't have to do but that support the road program.
Yeah, just understand where I was at. Thanks.
Okay, we're on page 5.
Mr. Chairman.
Don, sorry.
That's okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Quick question. In your vacancies, I noticed quite a few highway patrol troopers in there. Just some quick, 30 seconds, how are you working to fill those? That bothers me when we have that many in law enforcement.
So we've been very, and the governor's office has been very supportive. We've worked early on in the hiring freeze as it started to approach to begin the process of discussing what we needed relative to the Wyoming Highway Patrol. We were able to, and they had been in a 2-year process to recruit and to bring recruits forward into the mix. The as you know, the Wyoming Highway Patrol process is a long process. Even after we provide an offer to someone, they still have to go through background checks and some other kinds of testing prior to them actually being completed. So it's a very long process. We were able to do a class of 9, go through the academy with a class of 9 recently. We have another class of 10. 11 moving through now, And so there is an effort to fill those positions as quickly as possible, and we're identifying other positions as we need, and we're providing them back to the governor's office, and we have a process by which we get exception requests for some of the positions. So while there is a need always in the Highway Patrol, not only for new positions, but to reclassify existing positions because they've taken on new levels of responsibility or they have new functions or something like that, we bring on a canine unit and they're doing that job now or something like that, that process is moving forward and has not stopped. They continue to have positions that are needed there. And it's not, by the way, just for patrol. It's also for port of entry. It's also for dispatch, other kinds of things. And so that's moving forward.
Mr. Chairman.
How many vacancies?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Just so I wasn't being too glib, I'd like also let the director know that roads in White County are in darn good shape. A little concerned about a couple of them in Senator Wasserberger's district, however.
Is that a segue?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative Greer, we agree. We agree. Okay. I hope that answers Representative Burkhardt's question.
How many vacancies in Highway Patrol? Because I didn't.
23, I think.
23. Mr. Chairman, it's 23 as of this week.
Thank you. Page 5. We're really moving along.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just reading through here. There's not much here. Let me keep going. Unless there's a question. I'm on page 6.
Yes.
By the way, our number of employees is 1,900, as I said before, I think 1,946 is what I said at the beginning. It's down a bit. Not down just because of the hiring freeze, down because it's just down. We have a lot of movement. I should say I was talking with someone on the break. They had a demographic report done for me on the Wyoming Department of Highway, I mean the Wyoming Department of Transportation. And 286 of our employees, or around 10, 11, 12%, are at the rule of 85 or greater. If we change the retirement rules or something happened right now, we would lose those folks. That would create an operational problem for the agency. So we're looking at ways of trying to reduce that risk. That number's a little high. We don't mind it being 5%, something like that, but when it gets past 10%, it starts to become an operational risk. And so we're looking at ways of improving that through a whole number of different training programs and succession planning and some other things. But it is something that has been brewing for a little while, and I wanted to make sure I let the committee know that. So that number's a little bit down. Okay. Nothing else here on 6, if I can keep going. I'm just going to keep flipping, if that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. You might want to just go to your priorities.
Very well. All right. Priorities are listed on page 10 and 11. Looks like it keeps going. Let me just focus on a couple of these. Take off my glasses here for a second. What? Give me a moment, Mr. Chairman. This is the
These are the priorities. Okay. Right, for 7101. This is the commission fund. This is the commission side.
Okay. Tell them. Mr. Chairman, page 10, this is unit 7101, our commission side priorities. Were there any questions in specific here?
Questions.
Same thing with page. I'm sorry. Page 11 is same thing, only for the legislative side.
So page. Mr. Chairman, page 11 is Highway Patrol legislative side. It's a $75 million budget. Looks like in. It's really hard to follow. That's last year. And that's this year?
Mm-hmm.
$67,618,312 this year. Are there any questions on page 11?
Let me ask you about Salix. Isn't that about to go away?
Mr. Chairman, I am not sure of that answer.
Salix? Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Kevin.
The answer to that question would be no. Salix is a part of Wyolink. There's two units in Wyolink. Salix is the dispatching for state agencies. There are seven positions in there and $1.3 million, and that $1.3 million is actually a billable event for the dispatching that YDOT provides for, like, Game and Fish, DCI, parks.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, on to page 12, are there any other questions on page 11, Highway Patrol? Page 12 is administration and regulatory. You'll see fuel tax administration. You'll see motor vehicle services there. Again, we talked earlier about the fact that driver's license and driver services, driver's licenses are that program's about $8.2 million, and we collect about half of that in terms of fees. I would say that on motor vehicle services and our registration, this is what's interesting to me. Our cost of a registration of a vehicle has not increased since 1973. It's one of the oldest user fees that have never increased. And it's very interesting. It was flattened back then and it had never increased. So the cost of doing business in that area has gone up, of course, since 1973 significantly. But the user fees have not increased in that area. Interesting. You see human resources here. By the way, I want to mention something about our human resources group. Our human resources group inside of the department handles 500 cases, 500 individual employees, both current and past. That's double what all from what we understand, that's almost double of what other agencies are managing in terms of their caseload. So we have an amazingly efficient system by which we can provide services to all of our employees through human resources. Office services is support. Management services, this is very interesting. Our management services group, again, I'm learning. Our management services group are those people that help us with government relations, including all that work that was done on the surface transportation bill. That team, that small team of, I think there's four in that office, maybe five, something like that, four in that office, were able to support this over the last few years, and they did an amazing job of having this outcome, and do it every day. They do it with federal decision making or stopping federal decision making that could be hurtful to Wyoming's transportation system. They do a remarkable job, and they're in the management services. Procurement, I talked about, we are a robust buyer of things. And in some cases, in some commodities, the largest buyer of things. And as I mentioned before, one of the other things that I recently signed was an order for 23 loaders. It was a $4 or $5 million order. And again, Wyoming companies get these things in many cases. And this is just a remarkable buying power of this agency. It's something new to me. It was remarkable. We have public affairs, as I talked about, director administration, legal services. By the way, we employ, I have assigned to us five attorneys out of the AG's office, and we're very fortunate, to have the AG's office provide us support there. Anything else relative to page 12?
Page 12? These are, page 12.
10.
Page 12 on our book is your exception priorities in our book.
Oh, there's a different one than the one we're looking at.
What's this one? Page 10. Jake, go ahead and use mine.
Thank you.
Unless you have no song.
Thank you. Yeah, there's actually three versions of this here.
Really?
Yeah, I literally have three versions in front of me right now. The version that you have in front of you is the one Kevin just handed you, so I'll use this one. All right?
Please.
That'll make it much, much easier for me in particular. All right, so page 10, I went through Highway Patrol. I went through Legislative, Regulatory, and Administration. Page 11. These are transfers, Aeronautics Administration. We talked about that earlier. That's the area where we'd use some general funds. And in fact, there's been some modification relative to that in the governor's budget. And I'm going to get the numbers a little bit wrong, and I apologize for them. And you guys can interrupt if you want. I may need you.
The original request for, we have really three programs there: administration, air program service enhancement, and really a capital program for the air for the cities and counties that are running airports. The capital program is what it is, and there isn't much movement there. But the air service enhancement program is what we use to incentivize and to sustain air services here at our 10 commercial airports. And is an economic development tool that many states have used in the past to be able to sustain commercial air service. We have a problem here sustaining commercial air service, as you know. So this is our biggest tool for being able to do that in Casper, for being able to do that in Riverton, for being able to do that in Gillette, et cetera. And so we had requested, I think, $5.4 million in air service enhancements in this biennium. The governor's recommended, I think about 2.8. I want to get the number exactly right.
He cut it.
Okay. So it's, Kevin, can you talk to that, please?
Certainly. Mr. Chairman, the original, air service enhancement request was in the neighborhood of $5.4 million. The $2,880,000 that Director Panos was discussing is their standard budget for air service enhancements. So there was an exception request for $5.4 million. Later on, as we started working the budget, the air service enhancement folks got back to us, and they believe that they could reduce that $5.4 million to $2.7 million, basically because the revenue guarantee money was not used. Okay, if the employments for the aircraft are met, we don't pay the air service enhancement fee. So they reduced that ask to $2.7 million. Then what took place was, because of the climate of the general funds, naturally, the governor recommended that to sustain the air service enhancement program, that they leverage both the airport improvement program and the air service enhancement program together. The airport improvement program currently has a $10,240,000 general fund budget, an $8.7 million highway fund unrestricted budget, and they did receive about $7 million last biennium in additional federal funds. And just as September 2nd of 2015, they received an additional $9 million of federal funds for airport improvements. So they have been getting some significant additional federal dollars to help them with their airport improvement program. That means that they have the ability to transfer inside that same division the $2.7 million from the airport improvement program, general fund, or highway fund to maintain the air service enhancement program into 2017 and 18. Naturally, all the air service enhancement program deliverables will be met with that transfer. And then lastly, if necessary, because it's fully funded through 2017, if there are upcoming issues, that can be addressed in the supplemental budget.
Okey-doke. All right, Director Panos, or Rodney, whoever's going.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, Don, do we have a breakdown of that, or can we have a one-pager that just outlines what he just said?
Don?
We do not, but I think it would be best directed to them.
Mr. Chairman, I've already created that. It's available. I will see that you have that.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, if that's okay, we're going to move on to page 12. These are commission-level exception requests. We can answer any questions about these, and then we're going to move on page 13 as the legislative exception request.
Those I'm assuming that we'll go through these as you go through your budget, so rather than address each priority, unless there's something you wish to point out, particularly on page 11, I think this is, or 13. Is that legislative, or are these all commission?
Mr. Chairman, on page 12, these are our requests for budget authority that will be funded through the commission funding.
Right, I get that. What about 13?
13 is our exception request that we are requesting general funds for.
That's what I thought.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Does DOT work through ETS?
Mr. Chairman, we do pay ETS. We have an IT department that is out at YDOT. We do pay for those services through the direct bill.
Mr. Chairman, let me just add more to that. The answer is yes, robustly. The idea is we have some, I mean, it's all over. We have ETS offices in YDOT's headquarters.
We have YDOT employees helping ETS. We have ETS dollars, program dollars and project dollars that we're spending in YDOT. We provide ETS. We're the largest client to ETS. We're transferring money there, a robust amount of money every year to ETS for services. We work together in almost every communications and information management area with ETS.
So I can take that as a yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A strong yes. Mr. Chairman, is there something you wanted to talk about on pages 12 or 13, or wait to go through the budgets when we get there?
My admonition was, is there anything you'd like to point out? We recognize that on page 13, it is these are going to be general fund requests. Is there anything that you'd like to point out now, or would you like to address them as we go through the budget?
Mr. Chairman, just let me take a look here. The air service enhancement we just discussed, the wire link we're actually going to put off to the end of the presentation. And then there's some cost allocations there. No, nothing on the page 13.
Okay. And we'll just move through. They'll come up as we go through your budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, I'm on page 15 now. This is administration. Right. I'm trying to share information that I'm learning as we go. There's a few positions here, both in terms of legal services, internal review, public affairs. This is mostly around the director's office. We have some employees in this office that have been here over 40 years. A couple have been here 42, 45 years. It's a remarkable group of employees. By the way, that public affairs group are the people that handle the 45 million hits on the website. I want to say one thing about that, though. When we have a storm event, we set up what is basically a call center, and most of the calls come through the internet. We don't handle them, but we basically have a dozen employees, most of them in this office, that take the calls. The calls are – the phone does not – I mean, I'm not kidding – the entire storm event, the phone does not stop ringing. And it's people trying to get around, you know, see the internet, but they want to get an answer. And so they look for administration and they dial the number and someone picks up. And then they give them their problem, whatever it is. The employees for that period of time and for about the 48-hour period, some of the calls are very helpful, and they're all very helpful and informative, and they give them back the information, but there's a lot of phone calls that they get, and I'm not talking about a few. I'm talking about a great deal that is very, very difficult for them to handle. But they do it. They do it, and they do it well. And we don't get complaints about it. But it takes a toll on them. And just like our patrolmen that are out on patrol, just like our snowplow drivers who are out on snowplows, the staff here in the office, they take a great deal of that input during those storm events. It's not insignificant. It was noticeable. It was palatable. And a couple of people needed to go home for a couple of days afterwards. So I just want to let you know that this is an amazingly supportive, committed group that supports our citizens even during a very difficult time.
Okay.
All right, let's keep going.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your budget shows 15 employees in this division, but Kevin said that only one of them is generally funded. How are these employees funded? Out of what fund are they paid?
Mr. Chairman, I would recommend that they just move into their units and explain those as they progress page by page and unit by unit.
Okay.
If I may?
You may.
Okay, administration. There's two people here, myself and my administrative assistant. By the way, she's the one that's been here 41 years. I couldn't do it without her. She knows everything about the department and runs it. That's on page 17.
Mr. Chairman.
It's on page 18. The next one's legal services. This is primarily for travel and other support.
We're going to just
get priority 7.
I mean, I don't want to.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The budget book is a little bit confusing at times. You go to the unit and explain it, and then you'll have to go back to like page 17. There's
you'll
a
have to
small
go back
exception
and
request there for computers.
Right.
You want me to focus on the exception request, Mr. Chairman, only?
No. I like you to talk about your administration, but I don't want you to bypass the exception request.
Thank you, Mr.
We're
Chairman.
We're on page 18, but you have exception requests on 17. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that input. So we do. The exception request there is associated with, it looks like, IT. Mm-hmm. And transfers. You want to talk about that one? Mr. Chairman, this is just for our internal IT costs. We allocate those dollars across the agency to the various programs. And this is just to increase that spending authority to be able to allocate those costs.
And it's for one laptop. Where are you?
We're on page 17. Number two, priority number seven, priority list number one, internal IT cost allocation, explanation of request.
All right.
There?
So you went over
did
exception request number three.
Okay, we'll go back.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I apologize for that. Yes, our exception request is to replace one laptop for this unit.
Okay.
Thank you. Now we'll go on to the next one. This one is allocation.
Right. I guess you've already talked about that.
Mr. Chairman, one point that would help us today is that YDOT does do the internal cost allocation for their IT folks based upon the computers by program.
Right.
This is a reoccurring request in most units. When they get there, they can just say this is the same IT allocation and move forward without further explanation. I think that'll help.
Thank you, Kevin.
Mr. Chairman, are we good with page 17 then?
Yes, we are.
Moving on to page 18 and 19.
There are no exception requests for this unit. This is for legal services. Page 20.
Legal services.
Now we're on to page 21, internal review. There's no.
Hold on.
There's an exceptional request here. There is a laptop here. Looks like six of them for $7,650 in internal review. By the way,
Mr. Chairman, those are
our internal auditors.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question about all the computer purchases. First being, you indicate you're on a four-year cycle. I think all the other agencies in the state indicated they're on a five-year cycle. They indicated they're on a four-year cycle. What's the reason for the difference?
Mr. Chairman, as we've gone through time, we've just known that we've been able to extend the life of those computers to 5 years to stretch out the money we receive on replacement computers. So that's why we have a 5-year replacement cycle. We use those computers an additional 2 years beyond warranty, again, as a cost savings.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, so follow up to that. I think in this committee previously, we heard a year ago or more, comments to the effect of, with the computers in the agency, we jack up the good parts, replace the bad parts, and go about using them continually until they just fail completely. Is that not the case anymore? The reason I ask is the whole budget is full of requests for a lot of computer equipment.
Mr. Chairman, we try to use the computers for the full 5 years. If they do get to a point where they cannot be worked on any longer, we do replace those machines as needed. That doesn't happen very often. So we do request these based on our 5-year replacement cycle.
And Mr. Chairman, the Department of Transportation does replace the CPU on that 5-year rotation, which exposes them to an additional year of non-warranty. But the monitors will stay on a desk until they fail, just like we've discussed in the past, and the other peripherals.
Thank you.
This kind of cost-saving measure is also on our vehicles. Our fleet has some of the longest times for replacement in terms of the mileage. We keep them longer. It's different than some of the other places that I've seen, both in terms of the computers and the vehicles. So I can share my own story. I have the same computer John Cox had for his duration. They just replaced the memory and some of the other things. And vehicles, same way. We don't buy new. We just keep using the old stuff.
Okay.
Particularly in this unit.
Mr. Chairman, just so I keep this straight going forward, on the, call them the ETS positions. I realize they were taken out and then they're just repeatedly put back in. But in the unit where I see that exception request, is the employee count or are they commission employees? So I don't, how does that affect the employee count at the bottom of that particular unit?
Because
it
Chairman.
Does not show up as an exception item.
Mr. Chairman, the direct bill event takes place inside of YDOT's budget 0400-0407. So ETS has those employees. They do a direct bill to YDOT. So there are no positions that ETS has in the number or in the 563. All the positions reside in ETS's budget, but YDOT gets a bill and pays it through 0400-0407. YDOT also has a large portion of their budget that goes through the statewide cost allocation that supports ETS for email, for example, and that's also in 0400-0407.
Yeah, no, and Mr. Chairman, that's why I just, how are we, because we're showing a transfer of the employees back, and I understand the reason for that. Where's that count? Where does that count show up, or how is it accounted for? In this budget?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that I'm fully following the question.
Okay, so, Mr. Chairman, let me ask the question again. As I read, and I'm on page 23, so this is going to continue to show up. What I'm saying is, you know, when Enterprise of Technology was set up, they took these nine positions from, they took positions from all of the agencies. And then it appears that, if I'm reading this correctly, is that in each budget, we're giving those nine positions back to YDOT because they work exclusively for YDOT.
I apologize, Mr. Chairman. I was a little slow on the uptake there. That allocation that you have on page 23, 0999, Highway Department expended, YDOT has its a limited number now because they transferred a significant portion of positions over to ETS. They still have some limited number of IT people that focus directly on things like perhaps the roadway information systems, and also they assist in the IT-related activities in the department. Those costs are YDOT positions on the commission side, but they're allocated to the legislative side based upon the number of computers that one program has, the total number of computers of the organization.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, what we're doing is we're authorizing that to come back in, but we're not seeing it on this budget because they're commission employees.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, and that's absolutely correct. And it becomes very important in the case of the Department of Transportation because they have an indirect cost allocation that they use to make sure they fully capture every federal dollar as possible. And if we don't allocate that properly, then the federal government challenges on us, and we can't be successful with that. For example, I believe the last time I looked at it, the indirect cost allocation or changing the color of money for YDOT is about $20 million. So we're fully exercising every federal dollar that we can through this process.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Senator Perkins.
I just have one question about this unit, and because we're still in internal review, I do believe. But
right.
On our internal review, I just want generally the results. If we could just want to know the results of the reviews over the course of the years, how many did you find noncompliances? Were you able to correct those? Just what's the state of their internal review and the internal control and monitoring system for the department?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, we can get that to you. I get that report. I just don't have it handy with me.
Thank you.
We produce it every month, and so I can get that back to you.
Okay. All right. Anything further on any questions on page 23? Let's move on. Page 24, we're still in, that's the internal review. Any questions on page 24? What's the, you might want to address, we've been addressing on each and every budget, travel in-state and out-of-state.
In this unit? Mr. Chairman, were there any specific questions? There were no increases or decreases to the travel budget here.
Okay. as long as you point that out.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Page 26 starts public affairs.
Do you want to talk about what they do?
Mr. Chairman, you can see here that the exception request here is for one CAD computer and two desktop machines as part of the exception request for a total of $34.35. Again, that would be commission funded. We're not asking for general funds to pay for these throughout the document.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Burns.
Page 28, Public Affairs. Your supplies are $265,000. Just wondering what that is.
Mr. Chairman, Public Affairs, among other things, does all of the maps for the state. They do all of the they do a magazine called Interchange. They have a variety of publications, physical publications that they put out that our cities and counties and others rely on in terms of getting information about the agency. So it's a variety of services that and the supplies for those services that they need on a regular basis to do those functions.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. We have another exception request, priority number 7.
Mr. Chairman, that's just the IT allocation that we've talked about prior.
Sure. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to interject here that I think that I really appreciate your guidance and your patience in terms of us finding the right approach and the right book to work from. I really do appreciate it because now we're into a rhythm here that I think we're going to be able to get through it all. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Perkins.
Public Affairs, are they in charge of the STIP program, at least the hearings and the meetings around the state? Does that come out of this department?
They do work with our engineering programs to help organize those public information. They also work on projects that we're actually producing that we need to do a series in design and planning. They do those as well. So they move around the state and help us organize those. And I've been to a couple, and they're remarkable, by the way. Senator Perkins, they do. You're welcome. Mr. Chairman, are ready to jump to page 29 if you are. This is our administrative services. You can see their first exception request there. That's to replace one desktop machine.
Okay.
And again, their next is just an internal IT cost allocation like we've previously talked about.
Okay.
Any questions here? Page 32 starts the numbers field it finishes up with support services. Next, we're on to driver services on 33. Here's where we have a request to increase the programming costs for driver's license production. And that's due to our previous price was based on $5.97 per card for driver's license. That cost is going up to $6.21 per card. So we're just asking for an increase of professional fees for that programming cost, funded with highway funds.
How are you doing now? And this may be a question for Tom, but, boy, the past couple of years we were getting hammered with questions about when people come into driver services to get their license plates and the long lines and all that other stuff.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Lofton, Wyoming Department of Transportation. I can tell you that we are making a lot of progress as far as the long lines and stuff. We still seasonably have some long lines in cases like when a lot of the kids come back from school, you know, and they're trying to get renewed in their driver's license during the Christmas break and that kind of thing. But currently, right now, we are technically compliant with Real ID, and we have gone through a complete cycle of issuing Real ID driver's license. So from this point forward, we should start seeing a decrease in the amount of time it takes with each customer in the driver's license issuing locations. What we have done to address that, just to kind of give you some little bit of information there, we have shifted some positions around historically over the last 4 years. But one of the things we found we could do that was kind of a neutral on cost was we have taken where we had a full-time position, and we've made two part-time positions so that in one location we may have a driver's license examiner that works 20 hours a week in Cody, and their counterpart for that position works 20 hours a week in Casper, and we put those people in there during the busy time of the day and during lunch breaks to help with that as far as the lines. I can tell you, Mr. Chairman, over the last 4 or 5 months, I've heard a lot less complaints. Things seem to be easing down, and I think we're about to get into a normal cycle.
Okay. Yeah.
Question? Mr. Britt?
Yes, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Don't go away yet, Tom. I was just wondering if you hadn't heard more complaints because your mailbox was full and hadn't been empty. But anyway, the real question I had for you was I didn't know if it was an intentional hedge or not, but you said we're, quote, technically compliant with Real ID. To me, that sounds as a qualifier. What's the tell me about Real ID compliance and where we really are and where we need to go if we're not there already.
Mr. Chairman, when I said technically compliant, I meant that all of our citizens have gone through the process and presented all the documents that were needed. In some cases, we have a system in place called an exception process that myself or the driver's license program manager have to approve. Let's say you have a grandmother that doesn't have a birth certificate. So we have a process we go through to authorize those. We have other cases where we can extend a temporary exception for someone that maybe is having difficulties getting a birth certificate, say, out of New Orleans or one of the counties in Texas, because a lot of those have the birth certificates by the county, not by the state. So what we'll do is we'll extend them a temporary reprieve on the birth certificate, and then the next time they come in for a service, they have to provide that. So that's what I mean by that. And we also have some military. As you know, a few years back, the legislature passed some exemptions for military, allowing them to, as long as they were deployed and on active duty and that kind of stuff, that they automatically were covered as far as expiration on their driver's license. We have some of those that are still out there that haven't gone through the full process yet.
Okay. Alrighty.
Mr. Chairman, I believe I'm done with page 34. I'm on to page 35. This is priority number 5, programming for driver's license modifications. This is an exception request for additional funds for programming to the system that has all the driver's license information. Again, that's just due to an increased cost over time. You can see we were paying about $117 an hour to program that system, and now we're going to be paying up to about $127 an hour for that programming. That's a highway fund exception request or commission fund exception request, not asking for general funds.
Get it. Any questions? All right.
The next exception is for replacement computers. That's 90 desktops and a laptop.
Wow.
Those desktops are the machines that sit out in the driver's services offices and house that information at each location.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just for the committee's information, I wanted to let them know we have 29 driver services locations, so we try and spread them out where people are.
Mr. Chairman, the next priority is, again, an internal IT cost allocation. On to page 37 and 38, that's just a summary of the request. Any questions with driver services?
Any questions on driver services?
Mr. Chairman, moving on to motor vehicle services, page 39. We've got the standard budget, and then, of course, the next is C-Vision compliance software. You can see that's a request for $1.4 million of commission funds. Any questions on that compliance software?
What is it? Just tell us what it is, please. CVision.
Tom can talk about it a little bit further, but it really connects us to other states. That's fundamentally what it's about, and other states use it, and we're getting software to be able to do that.
So when it connects you to other states, does that allow you to know whether or not somebody's suspended in another state or what?
In part, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next exception request is for replacement computers. Oh, I'm sorry, I might have skipped one. Nope, I didn't. 14 desktops for replacement computers for the Motor Vehicle Services Office. And lastly, again, the internal IT cost allocation.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Sorry to do this, but let's go back to the software a little bit.
Okay.
So we're back on page, and my question comes out of the narrative on page four, on page 39. So we talk about that. It looks to me like it partly has to do with the fuel tax agreements, and so you do your apportionment and stuff like that. When it says the system is not core compliant with federal regulations for CBISN, what can you just explain briefly what that means and what core compliance means and why that's important?
Mr. Chairman, Tom Lofton, Wyoming Department of Transportation. Mr. Chairman, this is the Commercial Vehicle Information System Network. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it ties a lot of that stuff together. And what we mean by core compliant is that the Highway Patrol has a motor carrier section that receives funding for enforcement of commercial vehicles. In order to meet and receive your maximum amount of federal funds, you have to be what they call compliant. Once we get the CVision compliance taken care of and get this software in, I think that permits them to get $1 million per year more money for commercial vehicle enforcement. So when we talk about core compliant, it means core compliant for availability of federal motor carrier funds.
So, Mr. Chairman, I take it then we're not currently or presently core compliant, and this moves us into that realm.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, on to the replacement computers, page 41, 14 desktops for motor vehicle services, and then lastly, the internal IT cost allocation.
Okay.
Any questions on motor vehicle services?
Any questions? Let's move on.
I'm on to human resources. They just have 3 desktops and 1 laptop replacement computers, and, of course, the internal IT cost allocation.
Okay.
I'm on
Mr.
to...
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question on human resources for 7 people... $20,000, and I know this is a continuation, but just a question, $20,000 for in-state travel and $30,000 for out-of-state travel for human resources? Do you have an explanation for that amount?
Other than that, it has not increased here. It's a standard budget amount. We allocate not only by their use but by the number of people. Both are considered. This includes in-state travel, includes not only them going to locations that we might have employees at district offices, but also conducting training for those employees and then going to training themselves so that they stay up to date on the rules and regulations relative to the federal and state and also techniques for training employees in not only the normal human resources functions that they have while they're employed, but also retirement preparation, things like that. In addition, they work with other agencies, state agencies, and that requires them to travel either with or to those other state agencies.
Mr. Chairman, I would add one last caveat to that is there's also the requirement for recruiting for job fairs that they go to, and that might be in-state or that might be at South Dakota School of Mines.
Mr. Chairman? Mm-hmm. What's the nature of the supplies on those? Is that for reference documents and for, or what's the nature of the supplies? Expenditures.
Mr. Chairman, I would say that's just $11,000 a year, $22,000 a biennium, just in what they're doing in their office from day to day.
Well, yeah, but I've got an office. I've had an office of seven people. We didn't spend $22,000 a year on pencils and paper clips. So, I mean, there's something else in there.
We can get a rundown of the detail on the $11,000 that are spent every year and what this office has. That's you know, that's peaking the number. I just we don't have that level of detail here today.
Mr. Chairman, statistically on seven employees, I think that would be a fair analogy. But when you think in terms of the Department of Transportation, Human Resources serving 2,000 employees and doing all the paperwork associated with that, I think that represents what's taking place.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, anything else with Human Resources?
Anything else?
I'm on page 49 with Office Services, Mr. Chairman. You can see it's the standard budget request, and then two desktop replacement computers is the next thing. Third thing there is, again, the internal IT cost allocation. Page 51, the numbers, there's no travel increase here.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Sorry, on office services, is that just the cost allocation of all administrative services across the division? Is that what that is?
Mr. Chairman, could you ask that question again? So
I'm looking at the administrative services overall, and you've got these office services, and then you've got, well, never mind. It has to do with the statewide clearing. When you look at the statewide clearing, I'm just wondering what that is.
Yeah, that would be in 0400, 0407. Office services largely for the Department of Transportation is focused on the plans that the Department of Transportation has to put together for a bridge, for example, and make sure that all those plan documents are available to contractors. So Office Services does that, and they also facilitate the remainder of the programs in the organization.
We're also converting many of our records, those plans for bridges and for roadways that need to be made available. We're converting them to electronic forms and going through our archives and being able to preserve those archives as we go forward, because we use those. When we look at a bridge every 50 years, we have to go back to something that's 50 years old and look at it. So we're sometimes those records aren't in the condition that we'd like them to be. You can't read them. And so we're making those electronic as we go forward so they're available for future generations.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, moving on to page 53, if that's okay.
That's fine.
This is our statewide cost clearing, 0400. This is... I talked about earlier in the budget presentation, this is the dollars we give to other state agencies, the cost of doing business with those agencies.
I'd only point out, Mr. Chairman, this is about $15.6 million. It makes us one of the largest client, or, you know, largest producers of dispersed funds to other state agency in the state. We're providing support to, as I said, we're connected to and providing support to a large number of state agencies here in Wyoming.
Okay. All right. Management services.
Management services, page 55. They just have an internal IT allocation here in addition to the standard budget request.
Okay.
On to page 58 with procurement services. First exception request there is one desktop replacement computer. And again, the internal IT cost allocation adjustment.
Yes.
Could you get us a better breakdown on the supplies for all these divisions? Because every one of them, just as Senator Perkins was pointing out, in this one you've got five people, but your supplies are $30,000. And it's been like that for a bunch of the divisions.
We can. Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would just anecdotally add that Human Resources, your Office Services, and Management Services, those organizations facilitate the entire organization. So based upon the number of employees, it doesn't represent. What it does is that these do a lot of stuff for a lot of portion of the organization, and that's why those supplies are in that range.
Mr.
Mr. Chairman, any other questions on page 59 or 60 with procurement services? I'm on to page 61, strategic performance. They just have an IT cost allocation exception request in addition to their standard budget. No travel increase here. Page 64 is our fuel tax administration. You can see they got the standard budget. Then we've got the exception budget for 9 replacement desktops. And then, of course, the internal IT cost allocation. Moving on to Highway Patrol, page 68, Mr. Chairman. They've got the standard budget request. And then their first exception request here, we've got computer-aided dispatch or a CAD upgrade.
Does the chair or the committee have any questions about that? We have the colonel here and lieutenant colonel.
Any questions?
Very well.
Yes.
I do. Thank you. Question on this in the narrative, and I'm on page 69, says cellular connectivity is lost due to geophysical challenges. Can this be linked into WyoLink and that sort of thing? It looks like, to me, it appears that we're running two systems separately, WyoLink and this system. Can't they be linked somehow? I know WyoLink is more of a communication system between troopers and dispatch and all of that, but it looks like to me almost we're running dual systems here.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Burkhart, Kevin Haller with the Wyoming Highway Patrol. I believe the answer to your question is yes. These are two disparate systems. The CAD system and the report writing system that the troopers are utilizing is known as Intergraph. And with that, we are communicating our information back to a server that then everybody has access to. That does require connectivity and an uplink. And we do have a lot of problems with that. That is different than the connectivity with WyoLink. WyoLink is typically voice and not data. And on the Intergraph side with the reports, we are talking about data.
Mr. Chairman, just as a note on that request, that we will be using federal funds to fund this upgrade.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm just wondering if they can provide any insight, because part of it has to do with eSite, and talking about vendors dropping eCitation programs from this package, this new software upgrade. So eCitation, I see, still going to be in this, but I'm just interested about what's happening in that part of the world with respect to eCitation, and is it struggling, or has it just become such a niche market that it's got its own vendors and own suppliers now? What's going on?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, again, Kevin Haller with the Highway Patrol. I think that's exactly it. Many vendors have found out that just because they provide report writing systems and other systems for law enforcement, that eCitations truly is a totally separate system. And so oftentimes what we're finding is with that, they're making recommendations of two or three, and it's kind of lessons learned on other vendors that they've worked with, that they connected to, and they've got the bugs worked out. And so as a result, they're directing future customers to those systems.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for a follow-up. So in this one, part of that $1.7 million purchase I see is the eCitation module for that is about $400,000. I mean, is that the right product to be buying for eCitation, or is that a matter of convenience? Or, you know, if that's the case, why? And if these guys intend to drop eCitation, why would we spend $400,000 to get into something that's not going to be supported in just a few years?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, just to clarify, our current eCitations was I would call it a customized system, and it was from within Intergraph, which is also the same vendor that we're using for our report writing. Intergraph is no longer going to support their own e-citation that was customized for us. So that $400,000 is being utilized to purchase another system that will talk, that will be supported.
Mr. Chairman? And so, has that been at least beta tested? So when you go out and buy this, is it going to work with when you buy this new system, and then you've got the e-citation, now you've got this. Is this going to work, and how confident are we in that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, that's a great question. We scratch our heads over that one as well. And, yes, we do want to get our money's worth. And we are talking to other agencies that have utilized new products at the recommendation of Intergraph to make sure they do interface and that they work appropriately.
And so, Mr. Chairman, hopefully our contracts are going to reflect that reliance or something in there so that we're just not getting sold down the river by these guys.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
All right. Continue.
Mr. Chairman, I'm at the top of page 71 with priority number 4, in-car camera system. Mr. Chairman, these are the cameras that are in the patrol cars that film the stops that the troopers make and record those stops for video evidence if needed at a later date. The camera system that is in those vehicles was estimated at a 5-year life, and we are approaching the end of that. We are at the end of that life, and we just want to replace those systems.
Okay. Does all your cars have those?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to let the Colonel answer that.
Colonel?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Who asked the question? Mr. Chairman, Kevin Haller again with Patrol. Yes, sir. The answer is yes. All the vehicles that we have that are performing enforcement actions have those. Those of us that are not, such as administrative vehicles, do not.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And then these systems, either the new ones or the old ones, will be hooked up to the mic that the highway patrolman has, so even though the camera's in the car, you can hear what's going on in the car parked in front?
Yes, Senator Burns and Mr. Chairman, that is correct. The mics are synced with the L3 video system, so they do become one.
Thank you.
Colonel, are we going to be in a situation where you've been seeing a lot about body cameras and whatnot? Is that the next wave for you too also? Or?
Mr. Chairman, technology continues to expand, and I believe so. At some point in the future, having said that, I believe currently we do record, I would say, 98% of the activity that is taking place with the Highway Patrol, with our dash cameras.
Sure.
And so I'm confident in the collection of the evidence that is being preserved. Having said that, every now and then, something will end up outside the view, whether that be down in the burrow ditch or in the right-of-way, and we may not capture that. But I think that that's the exception and not the rule.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator.
And as we do that, so is this part of a rotation or is, because I mean, they got all installed at once, Colonel, and so how do we move this into a rotation so that, or are we planning to, maybe it's not enough money to worry about, but so that this stuff starts to rotate so it happens instead of coming in chunks that it's consistent.
Senator Perkins, Colonel? Mr. Chair. That's a great question, and I'm going to have to follow up on that to get you some accurate information. But I believe we are on a rotation. But to give you accurate numbers, I'm going to have to research that.
One final question, Mr. Chairman, if I may. And then also with the as you guys are you contemplating going to body cameras? I mean, how are you going to balance that? There's a cost effectiveness. How much are you willing to spend to pick up the 2%? You're not picking up now. How do you figure out whether it's worth it or not to do that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, part of the analysis of any new technology, whether that be body cameras or technology, highway technology, monitoring technology,
all of those are evaluated based on their cost benefit to the function, to whatever the function is. And so that's part of our evaluation. In law enforcement in particular, there's a great deal of new technology that's constantly moving forward. We've got a good team that looks at that and evaluates whether or not we should pilot it and see if it's working out there. We've tried on a couple of different things, and they haven't worked out, but on many things they have worked out. And we'll do the same process with body cameras as we go forward.
Okay. All right. Mr. Chairman, one last note on that. I did want to point out that that is a federally funded exception request. We will have a grant on that if approved.
Okay.
The next priority is replacement computers. That's for 50 desktops, 3 laptops, and a rugged laptop. And last but not least, our internal IT cost allocation.
Okay. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, if nothing else on Highway Patrol, I'm on to radioactive waste, page 76. This is just the standard budget request.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may just add, this is a transfer over to the Department of Homeland Security for their work towards this goal.
Okay. Pastor. Okay.
I'm on to page 78, Port of Entry, sir. We've got the standard budget. Then we've got our priority list for replacement computers. That's 26 desktops and 4 laptops. And, of course, lastly, our internal IT cost allocation.
Mr. Chairman, I'd only point out on this item that our port of entry is not only a regulatory compliance function and it's a commercial highway safety function, but they also generate revenue from the passage of these vehicles through our ports of entry.
Mm-hmm. Senator Burns.
I'm just curious. Up along I-90, you have a cooperative, as I understand it, a cooperative port of entry with Montana. And so you cost share and so forth and revenue share with them. How many other states do you have an agreement like that with?
Mr. Chairman, none that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Good job, Brian.
Capital renovation. Security services.
Mr. Chairman, just the standard budget here.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is also, if I may, I know many of you are focused on this particular project. This was to provide elected officials security services while this movement took place and while they're temporarily relocated. And it was particularly important downtown with some of the elected officials where we deployed some additional resources there.
Thank you. Fully aware. Wildlink. We're going to pass over Wildlink.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We're going to pass over that and put it to the end, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chairman, I'm jumping to page 95, which is the Aeronautics Administration. Here we just have 2 desktops and 7 laptops, exception requests for replacement computers, and, of course, our internal IT cost allocation.
All right. Any questions? Okay.
On to operational services. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the total. No, I apologize. Yeah, we're finished with that. Oh, this is aircraft operations. Yeah. Mr. Chairman, this is aircraft operations.
Mm-hmm.
We just have the standard budget request here.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to point out last year alone, 4,185 emplanements. On our state vehicles, yeah.
I'm on to the airport improvement program, which again is just the standard budget request.
All right.
Air service enhancement. We did have an exception request for an air service enhancement of $5.4 million. As you all have been told, the governor recommendation is to cut that.
Okay. Tell us about this one, please.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, we're going to have our Aeronautics Administrator talk about this a little bit, and Kevin may want to jump in as well.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dennis Byrne, Aeronautics Administrator with YDOT. This $5.4 million request was based on anticipated need through the 2017-2018 biennium budget. It included anticipated grant requests from Cody, Sheridan, Gillette, Rock Springs, Riverton, and Jackson, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any questions? Representative Conley.
Mr. Chairman, could someone explain the governor's recommendation that goes beyond the denial? Can someone explain the governor's recommendation beyond the denial about kind of transfer of the budgets?
Mr. Chairman, I can. Kevin is plenty capable as well, but I will go ahead and give it a shot. And if Kevin needs to step in, feel free, Kevin. Mr. Chairman, the governor said that if we needed money to fill in for air service enhancement, to go ahead and use monies within AIP funding for the reasons that Kevin stated earlier. There's $10.24 million in general funds, $8.3 million in transportation funding in that account, plus quite a bit of federal money. Now, we couldn't use that federal money for the air service enhancement, but that federal money would backfill most of the need within AIP.
Yes.
Would the mechanism for that simply be a B-11?
I'm going to let Kevin handle that one, Mr. Chairman.
Kevin?
Mr. Chairman, this is all in the same division, airports and air service enhancements. Certainly, we would track this with the B-11 for transparency purposes, but technically the Aeronautics Commission has the ability to do this now, but we wanted to make sure that this is fully vetted and is brought to the Joint Appropriations Committee, and the nomenclature on this would also support the commission if they were so inclined to do so in the future.
Okay. Mr. Chairman? Yes, Senator Byrne.
Is there any particular reason why the Appropriations Committee would want to give the specifically earmark this money for it now rather than just saying, well, they can do it, they could do it? Because I think these airports want the assurance that the money's there.
Mr. Chairman, I'll attempt to answer that, and certainly Dennis could follow up on it. The position of the recommendation is that give the Aeronautics Commission the flexibility, if necessary, to manage the funding that they have in total across both of these programs. You heard earlier that sometimes we were successful in not having to come up with all the dollars necessary to meet the revenue guarantees. So moving it over and making it solid, I mean, I think you strap the hands of the Aeronautics Commission. I think that they should have the flexibility to do that. And, Dennis, you might add to that.
Dennis?
Mr. Chairman, I think it does give the commission the flexibility to do what's needed at the time. I would, rather than taking money out of AIP now, and specifically directing it towards the Air Service Enhancement Program, I would prefer, and I think the commission would prefer, the flexibility of being able to transfer the monies when and if necessary.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Anything further on that? On to Air Services. Where are we? Are we at Surface Transportation Project?
Right, program.
Right.
The only thing here is just a request of returning general funds or not using $4,243 in general funds.
Okay.
As the budget is sufficient as it is, we'll return the difference.
Good. Yeah, use your mic.
I apologize, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So you're just returning those monies, $4,000.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
General fund dollars back. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, page 112, this is our general fund appropriation to the commission, our standard budget for service transportation, $46 million.
All righty.
That's just the standard budgets. That's all there is there. And I believe we're at the end of the document.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break for lunch, and then we'll come back and deal with WildLink. Is that then we'll be done with Department of Transportation, I think. So what do you think, Mr. Co-Chair, 115?
Sure.
We'll be back at 1:15 to finish this budget up, and then we got, of course, we got Department of A&I.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.